There's nothing like the peace of Jesus. The Bible says the peace of Christ surpasses all understanding. Amen. The peace of God is so amazing, beloved of God. Hallelujah. Yes, many of you are experiencing that peace already. Amen. I just want to let you know that the Lord is coming back soon. Amen. The Lord is coming back soon. About 2,000 years ago, when Apostle John wrote the book of Revelation, the last part of that book of Revelation, the Lord says, I am coming back soon. Now, if it was soon back then, 2,000 years ago, how much sooner it is today that the Lord will return at any given moment. Amen. The Lord will return at any given moment. And the Bible says when the Lord returns, He will no longer deal with sin like when He came the first time. When Jesus came to this world the first time, He was to deal with sin. Sin was an issue between God and man. There was war. There is no harmony. There is no peace with God. Man has a longing, the desire to know God. And God has a longing, the desire to love man. But there is a middle problem called sin. God cannot come to man. Man cannot come to God. The best that the people in the old covenant had were the blood of bulls and goats. That can never take away sin. The sin was only buried, but it still stinks. Because the blood of bulls, the blood of animals can never take away sin. Until the Lamb of God, who took the sin of the world, came. Apostle John says, He died for the sins of the entire world. Amen. For the entire world, whether you are Jews or you are Gentiles. Right? Jesus died for your sins. Amen. And God says, there's now no more obstacles for me to take care of you. Your Father loves you. Amen. God is rejoicing over you because now there's no more sin issue between God and man. Because Jesus' work is perfect. Hallelujah. It's the work that is so perfect that the blood of bulls and goats can never do. He removes sin once and for all, that God says, I will never remember your sins again. Hallelujah. As far as the east is from the west, your sins I will remember no more, says the Lord. Amen. All your sins have been thrown into the sea of forgetfulness. God will never remember your sins again. And now God can love on you, amen, wholeheartedly. God can love on you with all His might, with all His strength, with all His soul. Amen. With all His mind. Under law, right? Man is supposed to love God with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his soul, with all his strength. Under grace, it's God who is loving you today with all his heart, with all his mind, with all his strength, with all his soul. Beloved of God, have you seen something has changed? We are no longer under the old covenant of law where you have to love the Lord your God before God can love you. Hallelujah. Did you see the change in the new covenant? In the new covenant, under the blood of Jesus, God is free to love you with all his heart, with all his soul, with all his mind, with all his strength. Your part, amen, is to allow him to love on you. How does that work? Well, take the relationship between a husband and wife. The Bible talks about the relationship between husband and wife as a mystery. It's a mystery because although they are two individuals, the man and the woman, but once they are married, they become one. In the eyes of God, they are no longer two separate individuals. They are actually one flesh. And God calls marriage a mystery. Something that takes a revelation of the Holy Spirit to understand the unity between the husband and the wife as one. There's something deeper than just the intimate, you know, that fleshly intimate moments in marriage. There is a unity in the spirit that is so one that it gives you peace that is surpassing all understanding. That is what the blood of Jesus has done for you and I, beloved of God. Your spirit is become one with the Lord in such a way that the Bible says, he who is joined unto the Lord is one. You are actually one with Christ. If you believe in Jesus as your Savior and your Lord, right? The Bible says, he who is joined unto the Lord is one. In your spirit, you are one with God. Wow, this is a great mystery. Is that unity in your spirit with God. Freedom from sin consciousness. There is no more condemnation in Christ Jesus. Again, the Lord is coming back soon, and he will not deal with us according to our sin anymore. Because as far as God is concerned, the sin issue is no more. It has been taken care of at the cross once and for all. Amen. God will never condemn you for your sin ever again. Wow, that's a radical statement. God will never condemn you for your sin ever again. How can it be? Because God already condemned your sin at the cross. Amen. Hallelujah. The Bible says Jesus, hallelujah, became the sin offering for you and I. Amen. Such that today, beloved of God, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Are you happy or are you blessed? Man, this gives you peace.
Yes.
Like none other.
Yes.
This gives you peace like none other. Man, I wish that we have church on Monday, on Tuesday, on Wednesday, and you have someone that, okay, well, yeah, thank you for reminding me on that. But thank God for MP3s, amen? I want to let you know, beloved of God, this is why we come to church. Is to hear the good news of who you are in Christ. That he who is joined unto the Lord is one. And God will never ever again, alright, condemn you for your sin. That wrong thoughts that you just had just now, it's been condemned.
Amen.
God will never hold you liable. God will never hold you responsible again for that wrong thought that you just had. Is that good news or is that good news?
Yes.
Wow. Yes. He will never deal with us based on our sin ever again. That is such a good news. Right? All of our sins have been punished at the cross once and for all, beloved of God. That is amazing. That is amazing. God is so good all the time, and all the time God is so good. God uses the simplicity of preaching, amen, to heal your body. Do you believe that?
Yes.
God uses the simplicity, right, of the message that is full of the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, that reminds you, right, how clean, how righteous you are because of the blood of Jesus. God uses the simplicity of the cross, the message of the cross, the simplicity of preaching to heal your soul. Has your soul been vexed with stress this past week? It's not like you work a lot physically, right? But you work a lot right here in your mind, and you feel tired. Beloved of God, I have good news to tell you. God loves you. Your Father loves you. Your Father cares for you. And the Lord is reminding you today, amen, that there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus because of the blood of Jesus. Man, we can never hear enough of the message of His love, of the message of His grace, of the message of His righteousness in us. This is why we come to church. Amen. Just know the Holy Spirit already ministered to you the anointing that destroys yokes. Whatever yokes that you have, that yokes of burden and cares and worries, the Holy Spirit destroys all of that yoke out of your life. By just by the anointing, the music was already ministering to you. And now, the Word of God through the sermon, the appetizer, not the main sermon yet, just the sermon of the Word of God right now, you know, gives you that peace that surpasses all understanding to guard your heart and your mind in Christ Jesus. Man, it is amazing. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You are blessed, highly favored, and you are deeply loved. Amen. Hallelujah. I just want to let you know, beloved of God, in the house of God, you know, you can relax. In the house of God, there is peace that surpasses all understanding. And I hope every time you come to church, you come like, has anybody seen a sponge? I wash the dish a lot, so I know a sponge. I know the sponge, okay? I find that when the sponge is dry, it cannot clean anything. It takes a lot of work without water, right? And water in the Bible is talking about the Word.
Amen.
The water of the Word. So make sure you're like a sponge. I don't care how dry you are. I don't care how depressed you are. I don't care how stressed you are. That's why you come to church. The church is for imperfect people. You are qualified to come, right? So if you are like that dry sponge, man, you come at the right place at the right time. Because the Holy Spirit right now is releasing that Word like water, right? And when that sponge is full of water, and you need the soap. I like to put the soap too, okay? The soap, right? The soap is the anointing of the Holy Spirit, right? You're experiencing the anointing. You know, I'm not entertaining you. There's a difference between being able to enjoy laughter for an hour, like a stand-up comedy and stuff. I've been to places where they entertain you for about 30 minutes or 45 minutes. Oh man, it's good, you know. A good laughter is like a good medicine, the Bible says, right? I encourage you to find funny shows that you like to watch, okay? And laugh and laugh and laugh, because even medically, people have discovered the more you laugh, you will laugh off that problem in your body, right? So it's really good to find something that you can laugh. But the anointing of the Holy Spirit is deeper than giving you a laughter moment for 30 minutes.
Yes.
Because once the show is over, you're back to reality again. That's not the kind of peace and the joy that we're talking about here. The kind of peace and the joy that we're talking about is like that sponge that contains not just water, but the soap of the Holy Spirit's anointing that will make you clean. Your soul may have been defiled by the worries and the cares of life. And now the Holy Spirit is using the sponge to cleanse your soul, right? So deep cleansing that even tonight, when you go back home, you sleep like a baby. Not because you just watch a 30-minute funny shows before you go to bed, although that's fine, but because you have been in the house of the Lord. You have been under the anointing of the Holy Spirit. The picture of the anointing is like that soap, or a better picture is like the oil, right? Some of those oil can last for days. Frankincense, for example, it can last for a long time. It's like that, the anointing of the Holy Spirit. And right now the word of the Holy Spirit is full of the anointing, all right, to guard your heart, to guard your mind in Christ Jesus. You don't know all kinds of good things that are happening in your body, in your soul right now. Amen. Hallelujah. God is so good all the time. And all the time, God is so very, very good. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We are blessed. We are blessed. Hallelujah. Father, we just receive the water of the Holy Spirit and the oil, or like that soap in our sponge, so that we be so full that we can be a blessing not just to ourselves, but we can clean other dishes, not just our own dish, but we are so full of the water and the soap of the Holy Spirit that we can help our loved ones who cannot come to church today, who cannot hear the gospel today, but we want to be a blessing to those around us, Lord, by being filled with the Holy Spirit, full of the water of your word and the oil anointing of the Holy Spirit throughout this week. Thank you, Father. We are so blessed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. Church, today I'm going to share with you something that you can see for yourself what the Bible says. You know, there's a different potency of the word that you hear. Have you ever had someone that say you feel really down, you feel really sad, and someone tries to cheer you up and they say all kinds of good things to you, and instead of feeling better, you actually feel worse? Anybody ever experienced like a useless companion you are? You know, like Job, right? Job was experiencing tremendous agony and pain, and friends come and try to cheer him up, right? And they throw in all kinds of advice. You should, you know. The words of men, the words of consolation by men, sometimes it makes the things worse. It does not make things better. You feel worse off than you were. Someone trying to comfort you, but they don't know, right, the God of comfort, the source of that comfort. Any comfort that you receive that works, right, it has to be based on the Bible. It has to be based on the Word. Because the real encouragement, the real nourishment for our soul comes only through the Word of God. Amen. The Word of God is very powerful. That's why you'll be so blessed today by the end of this message, because I'm going to show you from the Bible. You can bank your life on every word in the Bible. Amen. Every word in the Bible. You know, one of the biggest rebuke that Jesus gave to people who are walking in doubts and unbelief. Many times you read in the Bible, Jesus said, Have you not read that God made male and female, for example? Have you not read? It's like he brings people back to the Bible. Yes. I mean, this is the Son of God, right? He is God in the flesh. He refers to the Bible. How much more we need to be grounded in the Word. Amen. How much we need to allow the Word of God to have the final authority over any lying symptoms in our body. Your body says, no, I'm not feeling well. Something's really wrong. Well, the Bible says, by Jesus' stripes you are healed. You got to make a decision. I'm going to believe the Word of God even if I die. I'm going to believe the Word of God all the way. It's better to die as a believer than to die as a skeptic. I'm going to believe in God all the way. So, beloved of God, today is an awesome message. And once the Word becomes a revelation in your life, you'll be a great blessing to you. All right? Lord, we are ready. Yes. I pray that you anoint Pastor Henry's mouth, anoint our ears so that we are ready for the Word of God. Yes. Today, in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Yeah. Right, so let's look at the first slide here. This is from Ephesians 1:1. AMPC stands for Amplified Bible Classic Edition. So it's an older version of Amplified Bible, but it's still really, really good. Okay? Paul, an apostle, special messenger of Christ Jesus, the Messiah, by the divine will, the purpose and the choice of God, to the saints, the consecrated set apart ones at Ephesus, who also are faithful and loyal and steadfast in Christ Jesus. Question, based on this verse, who is the audience that Apostle Paul is writing to? It's written to the saints, the consecrated set apart ones at Ephesus. Okay? Just a little background on how they deliver the messages back then. They did not deliver the message via instant messaging. Okay? Back then they did not deliver the message, okay, via email. There is no such thing as email back then. So what they had to do, Apostle Paul had to send a messenger, one of his servants, okay? He wrote a letter, right? And then this messenger, like a courier, your FedEx person, has to carry this special package all the way to this group of people in the city of Ephesus. By the way, the city of Ephesus is located somewhere in the modern day Turkey today, okay? In the modern day Turkey. So imagine, this is the scenario. When you study the Bible, it is good for you to understand the context, who Apostle Paul is addressing to. It is not addressing the entire city of Ephesus. He was addressing to a group of people, and he called them the saints, the set apart ones. And this group of people, right, they are saints because they simply believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. They're not saints because they live holier than anybody else in and of themselves. They are saints simply because they believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. That's it. So remember, this verse is addressing you and I who have put your faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So they're addressing the church. And God is saying here, you are the saints. You are the consecrated. You are the set apart ones. Simply because you are my church. Because you believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. At Ephesus. And here is the word. Who are also faithful and loyal and steadfast in Christ Jesus. I want you to say this with me. Say faithful.
Faithful.
Say loyal.
Loyal.
Say steadfast.
Steadfast.
So this is not just the Christians. This is the Christians, it says, who are also faithful. Now you have to understand, right? If a Christian is being faithless, a Christian still remains as a Christian. Am I right?
Yes.
A sheep will always be a sheep.
Yes.
Right? Even the sheep that is astray out in the wilderness, they have no pastor, they have nobody to take good care of them, right? They're still a sheep.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
But Christian will always be a Christian, whether they are faithful or not. You remain a Christian. But there is a difference between a faithful Christian and a non-faithful one. There is a difference between a sheep that has a shepherd and a sheep that does not have a shepherd. If you don't believe what I say, go to Israel. In Israel, there are many pastures where sometimes you can see sheep, right? And you will see the difference. The sheep that are well taken care of, there is someone watching over them. There's a pastor. There is a shepherd watching over them. And a sheep that is out in the wild, all right? On the outward, they look similar because you can't tell the difference. They just look like sheep from afar. But when you pay close attention to the sheep that does not have a pastor, you see laceration in their bodies all over. You see wounds, you see hurts, you see all kinds of problems. But it's still a sheep, is it not? So what I'm trying to propose to you, what I'm trying to persuade your heart, determine today to be a faithful, loyal, steadfast believer. Not because your faithfulness, your loyalty, and your steadfastness will buy you the blessings of God. Not because of that. But because when you are being the faithful and the loyal and the steadfast one, you are being well taken care of. Amen?
Amen.
Now let me ask you this question. How can you be faithful unless you first see the Lord as the one who is faithful in your life? So please, this is not a message of, well, you better be a more faithful, more committed, a more loyal, okay? Make sure you always, you know, read your Bible, you know, 1 hour a day, make sure you are faithful. This is not that message. This is message to let you know, right? The reason why we can be faithful is because we see Him as faithful. So many times, the messages that we hear in some legalistic place is that you're not faithful enough, or you're not loyal enough, or you're not steadfast enough. Well, how can they be faithful unless they hear the messages of grace? How can they be faithful unless they see Jesus as the faithful shepherd?
That's right.
So make sure whatever messages that you're listening, make sure you hear the messages that helps you see the faithfulness of Jesus in your life, even when you're not all that you're supposed to be.
That's right.
Make sure you hear the gospel, the good news, to let you know, right, of His love and His grace, in spite of sometimes we're not always faithful, we're not always loyal, we're not always steadfast all the time. But as you hear the right message, as you hear the gospel, like what you're hearing today, and you see the faithfulness of God to you, you become a faithful one.
Amen.
Because you become what you see. Amen. So, beloved of God, you are a faithful one. You are a loyal one. You are a steadfast believer because Jesus is that faithful shepherd.
Yes, He is.
He will never leave you nor forsake you. The Lord is your loyal companion.
Yes, He is.
The Lord is loyal companion to you. Amen. And He will always be steadfastly loving you. So you are blessed. Because you're not only believers, you are the one who is also faithful and loyal and steadfast. Now that you understand the context of verse 1, you're ready to understand the rest of the blessings that is available for you and I. Amen?
Yeah.
Hallelujah. So resolve to see Jesus as the faithful one, as the loyal one, as the steadfast one. Because it takes faithfulness on your part. It takes loyalty on your part. It takes steadfastness on your part. In other words, the blessings of God is available for those who wants to know Him.
Amen.
And have a heart to say, you know what, Lord, I know that I haven't been all that I'm supposed to be. I have not been as faithful as I'm supposed to be. But I know You are faithful to me.
Amen.
And I want to be faithful to You too. Am I right?
Yes.
Let me ask you, do you think a relationship will really work between a husband and wife if the husband says, you know what, wife, I love you with all my heart. Darling, darling, stand by me. Okay, I will love you with all my heart. I will always be faithful to you, darling. Right? And let's say the darling is not faithful to her husband. Right? And then the husband, you know, goes to the wife again and says, you know what, I remain faithful to you. Alright, you're not faithful to me, but I will remain faithful to you. But do you think that relationship will last if the wife, in this case, has no desire whatsoever to return to her husband and wants to continue to live the unfaithful life, say, with somebody else? She has a devotion towards another man, no longer to her husband. Do you think that marriage would work? Well, beloved of God, remember, he who is joined unto the Lord is one. Our relationship with the Lord is like that of a husband and wife. Alright? Do you understand? So the Lord will always remain faithful. He will never, never be unfaithful to us. Right? But knowing His faithfulness ought to cause our heart to desire to burn with passion. Lord, I know that You love me in spite of my unfaithfulness, but I return to You. I come home. I want to be with You. You are the only one. There's no other man but You. You are the only one in my life. Right? Now, that relationship will work. Even though it was not a perfect relationship, right? There was some unfaithfulness. But as long as she returns, right? She will receive, right? The blessing of a relationship that is so good. That God is going to share some of really, really, some of the best blessings that you're about to see in the next verse. So I'm just kind of getting you ready to put on your seat belts, right? Because the Lord loves you very much, including those who might be listening to this message also worldwide. Okay? Listen, this next part is really, really amazing. Remember, the topic of the message is Shalom. Christ, our Shalom. Remember in part one, we talk about in order to make use of Christ, our Shalom, you got to make Jesus number one in your life.
Yes.
Remember, that was part one, right? There cannot be another man in your life. There cannot be another person in your life. He is your number one.
Amen.
In your life. And now God is letting you know, I'm being faithful to you, and I expect you to be faithful to me. I expect you to be loyal to me. I expect you to be steadfast to me. I will never leave you nor forsake you. But here is the blessings of peace that is available to the loyal ones, to those who want to have the knowledge of the Lord, who wants to have a deeper knowledge of God, who is not satisfied where you are. You want to know Him more. And here, ladies and gentlemen, is the blessing of peace. This is what's written in Scripture itself, that is available to the loyal ones, to the faithful ones, and to the steadfast bride of Christ.
Amen.
As you desire to know Jesus more, your number one man, there's no one else but Him. Ready? Show them the next verse. This is verse 2. I'm teaching you within the context of Scripture. I just showed you verse 1, and now it's verse 2. So you know that I'm not taking things out of context, right? I'm giving you a sound teaching, a sound doctrine. Okay? So, Ephesians chapter 1, verse 2 here. Also from the Amplified Bible Classic Edition. May grace, God's unmerited favor, and spiritual peace, which means peace with God and harmony, unity, and undisturbedness be yours from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. This is a mouthful. This is a mouthful. I've read this verse so many times, right? But I never fail to see something new out of this verse. Look at what the word is saying. May grace, God's unmerited favor. So grace is God's unmerited favor. In other words, you cannot earn the grace of God. Right? It's something that is unmerited. If you say, Lord, you have to bless me today, right? Because I have done this. Look at what I have done. And now, Lord, you owe me something, right? Well, you might still getting something good, but it's not grace.
That's right.
It's called wages. Right? It's called salary, because you work for it.
Yeah.
Right? Now, the grace is unmerited.
Yes.
Unmerited favor. Amazing grace. Because the grace of God is His unmerited favor.
Amen.
And it says spiritual peace. Wow. It's not a worldly peace. Do you want worldly peace? Or do you want spiritual peace? Spiritual peace, another word for spiritual peace, is the peace that comes by the Holy Spirit. Spiritual peace that comes by the person of the Holy Spirit. So we have grace, unmerited favor, right?
Yes.
It's not something that you earn. Remember, when the devil condemns you, hey, what makes you deserving a body that is so pain-free? You haven't exercised at least an hour today. Right? You have not worked out. Even the word exercise is to work out, you know? You gotta work it out, man. You gotta work out, right? Remember, unmerited favor. Lord, I can still expect a body free from pain. I can still expect your blessings to manifest in my life because your grace is unmerited in my life. Not just grace, it's the spiritual peace. Remember, peace is the word shalom, right?
Yes.
So it's not just the peace of mind here, it's the spiritual peace that comes from the Holy Spirit, right? Can I see a raise of hands? Who wants this Holy Spirit given peace? I want this Holy Spirit given peace. Amen? It's not the peace that the world gives. This is amazing. Because this peace, it says it means peace with God. That's the first meaning of this Holy Spirit given peace. Is the peace that you have with God. That's the number one meaning of peace in the context of Ephesians 1:2 here, is the peace with God.
Yes.
Do you have peace with God? Or do you have a lot of nightmares at night? If you have peace with God, knowing that God will never condemn you to hell.
That's right.
God will not ever leave you nor forsake you because of your sin, because you believe in the Lord Jesus.
Yes.
Then you will begin to experience the Holy Spirit's peace. Peace with God. In part 1 we talk about what's the basis for this peace, Pastor. Well, This is the basis. Acts 13. Be it known unto you, brethren, and all you who fear God, right? Through this man is preached unto you the forgiveness of sins. And everyone who believes is declared righteous from all things that he or she could not be justified by the law of Moses. That's the basis for our peace with God, that we have the forgiveness of sins through His blood. Amen. Let that settle in your heart. Amen. I have peace with God through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Are you ready to understand the second meaning of this spiritual peace? It says harmony. Do you have harmony in your life? Or your life is full of chaos? Well, beloved of God, I have good news to tell you. The spiritual peace of the Holy Spirit will give you harmony. Harmony that will translate into harmony in your life, in your relationships with your family. Is there harmony in your family? Is there harmony in your marital relationship? Is there harmony in your friendship? Well, beloved of God, I have good news to tell you. This harmony comes by God's unmerited favor and through the spiritual peace of the Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. Wow, this is amazing. This is amazing. Amen. Harmony. We all want that harmony, you know, in our lives. And it comes by His unmerited favor. Amen. It does not come if I do everything just right, and then I will have the harmony. It comes by His unmerited favor and the spiritual peace of the Holy Spirit. Peace with God and harmony. Look at the third part of the meaning of peace here, right? So we're diving deeper in the word peace, beyond just a peace of mind, right? When we say peace, it's beyond just peace of mind. It's peace with God, it's harmony. Look at the third one. It says unity. Say unity.
Unity.
Do you have unity in your life? Now, when we say unity, we're talking about your life is held together. It's not chaotic. It's held together by the love of Christ that binds everything together like that perfect bond. That is the peace of the Holy Spirit. It gives you unity, not divisions, but unity. And now let's look at the fourth part, which is really, really amazing. And it says, and undisturbedness. This is really, really amazing word. Okay, I want you to say this with me. It's not a very common word. That's why I want you to say it. Undisturbedness. Remember that key word. And you'll thank me someday if you remember that. Right? Undisturbedness be yours from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice that grace, spiritual peace, be yours. In other words, this is God's will. You don't have to say, oh Lord, if it is your will, give me peace. No, it is His will. It is His will that you have harmony in your family. It is His will that you have unity in your life. It is His will that you have peace with Him. It is His will that you have this undisturbedness in your life. Don't ask, oh Lord, if it is your will. Hey, it says, May it be yours. This is God's will. You don't have to question it. God wants you well. God wants you whole. God wants you to have harmony. God wants you to enjoy undisturbedness that comes by His unmerited favor that you don't have to earn with your performance.
Amen.
That comes by grace and by the help of the Holy Spirit, who is the only one who can give you that spiritual peace. That means it's a peace that comes by the Holy Spirit. Amen. So as you allow the Word of God that you're hearing today and the Holy Spirit fanning into flame, i.e. praying in tongues, amen, there will be peace with God in your soul. There will be harmony. There will be unity. There will be undisturbedness in your heart. All you do is just hear the gospel like what you are doing. Even if you fall asleep listening to the gospel, your spirit is feeding on the word. You don't know how come every time by the end of the church service, right? I feel there's an extra strength in me. I feel like there's an extra joy, extra peace that lasts throughout the week. It's because of the work of the Holy Spirit, the anointing that is supernatural. Amen? So this is the will of God for you to have that. Because you are loyal. You are faithful. You are steadfast. In other words, you hold fast to this will of God. Yes, Father, this is your will. I hold fast to your word. I don't let it go. Doesn't mean it's going to be a bed of roses from now on. It doesn't mean that there's no trials in my life. But I'm going to remain steadfast. I'm not going to give up. Because harmony is mine. Amen. I'm not going to give up. Because unity is mine. Peace of God is mine. I'm not going to give up. Just because I'm dealing with circumstances right now that I don't understand how to deal with. But Lord, I'm not going to give up. I remain steadfast. I remain faithful. I remain loyal to you, Lord Jesus. And beloved of God, there is another word for that. For the word faithful, that might be easier to understand. There is a spiritual tenacity. There is a persistence. There is a perseverance on your part where you say, I'm not going to let go until you bless me. I'm not going to let go until this healing manifests in my body. I'm not going to let go until I see breakthrough in my life. Lord, I'm not going to give up. I'm not going to throw in the towel. With that attitude and the grace of God that is unmerited and the spiritual peace that comes from the Holy Spirit, not by your own self-efforts, beloved of God, may this week be filled in your life, full of the shalom peace with God. May your family be filled with harmony throughout this week. And may your body be full of the unity of Christ. And there is also the undisturbedness blessing, the promised land of living in a land flowing with milk and honey, free from the Jebusites, free from the Hivites, free from the parasites of this world called worries and cares and all trouble. Do you understand? God has a land of rest that He has given us, the land of undisturbedness that is available to you, the faithful one, the loyal one, and the steadfast one. I said you're going to thank me for the word undisturbedness. Because I want to show you something. Only the genuine stuff works. Just because the world has the concept of peace, don't be fooled by their definition of peace. God has the true peace called Christ our Shalom that's only available as you meditate on His Word today. Amen? This is the last slide that I'm about to show you. Are you ready? A calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. Proverbs 14, verse 30a from the Amplified Bible. Remember the word undisturbedness? It's an element, a calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. How many of you would like to have life and health of your body? How many of you would like to have life and health of the body? Well, the Bible has given us one ingredient there that is very important. It's called undisturbedness. A calm and undisturbed mind and heart are the life and health of the body. Yes, beloved of God? Are you happy or are you blessed? So we're going to explore more on the revelation of Christ our Shalom. Because we all want that life and health of the body, but it comes from a calm and undisturbed mind. As we know more and more of Christ as our peace, our Shalom in our lives. Father, I just thank you for your word today. The promise of having undisturbedness is found in the revelation of Christ as our Shalom. Because once we have a calm and undisturbed mind and heart, that will provide life and health to our body. So Lord, we pray that you give us the hunger and the thirst to know Jesus more as our Shalom, as our peace. And Lord, help us to see you as a good God, to see you as a faithful God, to see you as the loyal God, to see you as our steadfast God, to steadfastly love us even when we do not always do things perfectly, that we can be a faithful son of God, loyal daughter of God, that will be able to possess the blessings and all the spiritual blessings in the heavenly places that you have promised in our lives. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for your goodness and grace. We depend on your faithfulness. We depend on your loyalty. We depend on your steadfastness, Lord, as we keep on hearing and hearing the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, what you have done for us at the cross more and more. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You are good beyond measure. All glory be unto you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Amen and amen. Hallelujah. If you have anybody online or offline who have never received Jesus Christ into your life, beloved of God, let Jesus be your Shalom peace. If you have never received Jesus Christ into your life, receive the peace of Christ today. Do not postpone that decision, because the peace is for you who are set apart to hear the gospel truth today. And all you've got to do is say yes to Him and pray this simple prayer and let Jesus be your Shalom, your Lord and your Savior from this day forward, and be born again. Say, Lord Jesus, come into my life. Lord, thank you for your grace and peace, your unmerited favor, and the peace that surpasses all understanding. It is spiritual, it's not earthly. I want this real peace in my life. So Jesus Christ, come into my life and be my Lord and Savior. I believe you died for all my sins and you rose again on the third day. Thank you. I'm born again from this day forward. In your name, Lord Jesus, I pray. Amen and amen. Hallelujah.